The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Families that go here, grow here.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Friday morning. It's the... Not, is it the 10th? I think it is the 10th. No, it's the 9th of December. 2022. I don't know why I got it into my head. It was the 10th. It's not. It's the 9th. And we're all here till 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. December's running away on me. I kind of keep thinking, oh, I must get that and that and that. I'm not sure I can do that next week. And then you think, well, next week we're heading into the... Anyway, if you are in, you heard about the west of Ireland there, and certainly in the east of Ireland here in Dublin, it is treacherous on the roads. And I wouldn't say that lightly, because sometimes people get a bit hysterical about it. Go, oh, there are four leaves in the train track, shut everything down. But seriously, on the roads, even the main roads are really dangerous. I saw about a four-car pileup. Now, not bodies, it was just bumper-to-bumper pileup, but everyone was out of the cars. It was about 7:15 in the morning, everyone out and nerves gone and Christmas, and it's just what you don't need in the world. And that's a very awkward experience, isn't it, when somebody shunts somebody and then you're all up out of the car going, what, and details and guards and all. You just think, oh God, if I'd gone a tiny bit slower, I wouldn't be standing here on the side of the street. So just tread carefully. And even the walking, I had a bit of a slip this morning. I went, I thought, careful now, because you land on your hand and you're before you know it, you're spraining something. So... And I'm not that old, so, just whatever age you are, just tread a little carefully about the place today. It is pretty bad. And it's one of those days, isn't it, where you think, okay, old friend, old neighbour, check in. How's it going? Do you need anything? Don't go out if you can help it. And that kind of bit of nice Christmas magic. Spread it if you can. There's a lovely story. Actually, speaking of happy stories, there's a really nice story this morning from Amy Blaney in The Independent, which says a DPD driver. Now, the DPD drivers, and you see them around the place. I've became quite familiar with a couple of the drivers over the pandemic because they were at the door so often. But this driver had his van stolen with 100 packages in. His name is Abraham Shadia. He was making deliveries on his usual route in Glasnevin just on Tuesday gone by. And he'd been doing this route for years. So if you know, you tend to know, it's a bit like the postman or postwoman, you tend to know them as you're going along. But a guy jumped into his van with all the parcels in the back and just drove away because he had the keys in because he was running into the house. And this guy's a sole trader, you see. And that's the problem. And he's contracted by DPD and now has no work in the run-up to Christmas. So horrible a thing to happen. However, there's a good twist to this story. He said that a woman on the route offered to take him to Finglas Garda station where he reported the incident. So that's fine. And he said, one of my customers, very nice lady, came out and volunteered to take me to the Garda station. And then the local residents, who are so used to seeing him around the place, set up a WhatsApp group and they said, look, let's try and raise, they target 400 quid to get him through Christmas. They currently have €12,500 raised for this guy and his family. What a nice thing to do. What a lovely community. What a nice neighbourhood. Local resident Kian O'Leary said the incident is horrific coming up to Christmas and the community is now hoping to use their fund to buy the driver another van. And he said the locals know Mr. Shadia really well. Everyone knows him. He always has a smile on his face. He's great with everyone in the community. Everybody loves him, he says. And we have a WhatsApp group in our area. The news went out and it was suggested start a page up. And they, as I say, they got this big chunk of money now. And if the community could come together to do something nice, it would be great. And they did. And it has happened. I thought, what a nice way to start our day together here this morning with that lovely story of decent Irish people helping decent people, doing a good job. Lovely story. Love that. And well done to him and to the community. And happy Christmas to Abraham Shadia. And yeah, because that's a tough job doing that delivery thing. I always talk about that film, Stayed With Me, Sorry We Missed You, about the white van man. There's always a man in the film. And the pressure they're under to get targets. They go to the warehouse in the morning, they're shouted at. Now, I'm not saying this happens here, but just in this film. And every traffic light goes red, they're down a few quid. They got to get home, they got to feed the kids and get money on the table, and it's Christmas. I remember seeing that and thinking, ever since then, anytime I had a traffic light at a filter, white van in front, off you go. You need to get somewhere quicker than I do. That's the truth of the matter. All right. Other news. The expression, okay, is this grinchy grumpy? When somebody says Happy Friday, why do I come out in a rash? It's not a bad thing. Surely whoever's saying it has every intention that's only kind and good in their heart. And yet I think, please don't say it. Don't say it. Happy Friday. And it is apparently, according to the Irish Daily Mail this morning, Lisa O'Donnell writing that if you find yourself wanting to punch the computer screen whenever you see the phrase Happy Friday, or indeed the expression touching base in a work email, you're not alone. This expression is driving people mad. So even though you're doing your best to keep the world happy, unfortunately, according to a poll carried out by HR consultancy firm HR Buddy, they revealed that the expression just doesn't find people well and doesn't work. So Happy Friday, well-intentioned, but actually just annoying. Sorry to say it, but it's the truth. In other news, Brendan Gleeson has been named among the top 10 actors of 2022, according to the New York Times. So that's pretty impressive. Lynn Kelleher, writing the Irish Daily Mirror this morning, says that Brendan Gleeson has been named among the top 10 actors, credited with bringing gravity and gloom along with levity and surprise to Martin McDonagh's deceptively breezy tale of a friendship gone sour in an Irish village, referring to, of course, the Banshees of Inisherin. He's the most serious person in the film and the most mischievous, says the publication, praising his exquisitely light touch in front of the camera. His sandpaper brogue. That's a good description, isn't it? Sandpaper brogue and weathered features, also a good description, are impossible to forget. Other people in there, Michelle Yeoh for the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once and Michelle Williams in Spielberg's The Fablemans, neither of which I've seen but which I would like to see. The Irish Film Institute, which is a great spot, the IFI, are going to re-show the five best performing Irish films of the year between December 27th and January 5th. What a great time to go to the IFI between Christmas and New Year's if you happen to be in the city of Dublin. Check out their website and go and see on the big screen on Colleen Kuhn, The Banshees of Inisherin, Belfast, Nothing Compares, the great Sinead O'Connor documentary, belated happy birthday to her, by the way, Rosha and Frank, Irish comedy, but the dog and the man and the woman. So that's a lovely thing to do. So you could check out their website, book it now, and treat yourself to a kind of mid-season afternoon or evening at the cinema. Now, I'm going to send a text. Travelling from Cahir Daniel this morning, car recorded minus 14. And then minus 7 at 8 a.m. in Glen Bay. Hats off to the builders on the roof there. Minus 6 now in Castleline. It's cold. It's cold out there. We collected for Simon last night at St. Stephen's Green Centre. We're out again on Friday and Saturday this weekend. Tap to help. Oh, that's great stuff. So thanks from Eddie. No, Eddie, good on you. And best to everybody collecting today and tomorrow. And as you say, tap to, if you're doing the tap on the car, that is a great thing for people to know that they can help in that way. That's wonderful. I was just about to come down to do the show at the, this morning, but we got into a discussion about the colour beige. And I said, what colour do you think this jumper is that I'm wearing today? It's an unusual jumper for me to wear, but it's an Irish company. I bought it a few years ago. And they said, it's oatmeal. Oatmeal? Does this look like oatmeal? I mean, I'm asking you at home, but I'm on the radio. I won't be wearing it later. Is oatmeal a good description of this? Because I thought, as long as it's not beige, I don't really want beige in my life. Oatmeal, are you giving that market? But apparently sad beige has taken over baby clothing. So the babies are going to be clothed in beige. Now, am I mistaken? When the Obamas took over the White House, didn't they change a lot of the decor to be beige in colour? I think they started this trend. I think it's not, blue is too stereotypical for boys, pink is too stereotypical for girls, but beige as a middle ground. Now, if it was either this day last week that I got into Pantone Pantene gate, so my Friday colour scandal seems to be the thing du jour, but this person, Chrissy Kine, is a makeup artist who has joined a wave of parents who've got rid of their bright and stereotypically gendered colour for kids' clothes and instead are choosing earthy, neutral tones aligned with minimalism. But the TikTok satirist Hayley DeRoche has termed this colour sad beige. And she's been talking about this. Nurseries now around America and around the world are being no pops of colour. You just walk in and go, beige, because it's just neither this nor that.
Welcome to Werner Herzog's new line of children's clothing. Sad beige clothes for sad beige children in such colours as porridge, paper bag and mystery spice pansies. So like smells really good, but you really can't quite pinpoint what it is. This is what I call the moment of realization that childhood is really just the first steps toward death. And that's the first steps we take from the cradle will lead inevitably to the grave. This one I call Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo Hoo, the magic of sadness.
The magic of sadness, that being Hayley DeRoche doing her Werner Herzog version of childhood through the prism of the colour beige. Is beige even a colour? Just about, I suppose. I know. I'm walking myself into a trap here that I set for myself. Beige is all one colour. Oatmeal is sort of flecked with white, cream and beige. Okay, well, I'll pop up maybe an Instagram picture of the jumper later on, because I can tell you're only dying to see it. The excitement is killing. We have moved on. Please don't say that in my hearing. I admit it's a way of dismissing someone, Sashan. We have moved on. I get nearly everything delivered, says a text, out in the country, and all the delivery drivers are wonderful and helpful. Use their initiative if I'm out. Send back damaged goods. I don't know what I would do without them. And they save me loads of petrol, and they're always very cheerful. That's nice. Happy Christmas to all of them. I was asked by one relative to buy a shower radio, of all things. When was the last time anyone heard of a shower radio? So I tried to find one. I think I got one. I think it's completely wrong. It looks like it's a speaker. It just looks all right. It looks also like cheap and nasty. So I need to revisit the purchase. And now, I don't send. Do you send stuff back? I don't know how this works. Anyway, Anne in Dublin says, happy holidays drives me crazy. Let's just say happy Christmas. Okay. I don't like happy Friday, says somebody in Cork. I work with someone who says it every day of the week. Every time he says it, another part of my soul dies. And you see, if you say to the person, hey, listen, let's come up with something else, like good morning, something controversial like that, that you'll crush their soul, because they're saying, no, I'm trying to be nice. Happy this, happy that, happy the other. Nerd fact, beige is from the French, meaning the colour of unbleached wool, says Bob. Good work, Bob. Bub, as you're called in France, no doubt. When I was looking to buy a house years back, most of the decor was described as oatmeal beige. Well, that's combining everything, Kosh. My jumper, their colours, the world. I want to say, what else have I got for you? Yes, the Junior Eurovision is happening this weekend. And it'll be shown on TG Car. At 4 o'clock, and our entrant for representing Ireland is 13-year-old Sophie Lennon. So I want to wish her well. She's going to sing a song called Solace, written by Niall Mooney, who's a very accomplished songwriter. And they will be doing the job for Ireland, hopefully. So you can vote for her, for Sophie, and JuniorEurovision.tv if you're watching at 4 o'clock. Nice thing to watch on of a Sunday afternoon. And I mentioned a couple of times All Quiet at the Western Front. Got a great email from Sarah Tilson, said, I listened to your interview on Tuesday morning with the director of the latest version of All Quiet at the Western Front, and I felt I really wanted to see the film, so my youngest daughter and I watched it that evening. My goodness, it was horrific, brutal, tragic to the highest degree, and made one ask, what the hell was the point of World War One? It was a killing machine in every degree. The terror of those young and innocent soldiers was palpable. They went off to war, not having a clue what they were going to face. The mud, the rats, the cold, the hunger, the thirst. The utter obliviousness of those generals whose sole aim was the glorification of the fatherland was all shown to us without a scrap of mercy. The tanks and flame guns at that last battle was just so brutal. And having listened to the interview, one was aware of the cameraman who cried during the stabbing scene near the end, and the actors were all outstanding. It really is a truly remarkable film. As my daughter said, we know little about the German side of the war. We both agreed the atrocities and brutalities happened on both sides, and at the end of the day, millions of innocent and harmless men and boys were brutally killed, whether by bullet, disease, drowning in the mud and more. And to think the world went through the same thing less than 20 years later. And I want to reread the book now, says Sarah Tilson. Well, I'm glad you had that same reaction as I did. It's a visceral film. And I was down at my local independent bookshop, Raven Books, yesterday evening with Louisa, and who you'll know, she contributes a lot to radio book reviews and so on. And she said they're sold out of All Quiet at the Western Front this week, but you should try and order it from your local bookshop and get it in for Christmas. It's a short read. The other one, she well stocked in shops there, picked up a copy actually for another friend of mine, which is The Absolutist by John Boyne, set again in the trenches of World War One. Excellent. Only read it for the first time a few weeks ago. Excellent book. Highly recommended, just if you're in that zone. And Colm Quilligan wrote a great email also on this subject, saying about 10 years ago, an Irish man in his 50s joined the Dublin Literary Pub Crawl Tour at the Duke. It's a famous pub in town, in Dublin. He was 6'5". And I asked him, does your height run in the family? And he said his grandfather was exceptionally tall for his time, being born in 1915, and that he had three older brothers, same height, and they all enlisted in the British Army during World War One. They all died in Flanders, and this man's grandfather was too young, being the baby of the family, and so the family line survived. And the story came back into my mind as I watched the harrowing drama of those German boys in All Quiet at the Western Front, a masterpiece of filmmaking. Your interview with the director did a great service in reminding us of the horrors of war then and now. And that's from Colm Quilligan, who runs this tour. He also wrote a book called Dublin Literary Pub Crawl. I've never been on that column, so that's going to be on my to-do list for the new year. I'd love to do that. Now, what else have we got for you? Lots. You're busy on text this morning. You're all working away and driving away and getting involved. So thanks for that. 51551 is the text number. What else? Happy Friday is a terrible thing to hear, says Al. But at least people can only say it once a week. The immensely annoying phrase, sound out, can be said 7 days a week. And my God, when I hear that, I want to cut off people's hair or air, sorry, air. And unfortunately, people have adapted it to a number of derivatives like happy out and hungry out and a few dozens others that I've forgotten. Happy out, I hear quite a bit. And also, when you work with people from around different parts of the country, like I probably have expressions that make them laugh. And they have certain expressions, if you work for somebody with, say, from, say, Newry or Galway, say, and they have expressions that are pertinent to their areas. I love that. I quite like that because it's a different sound. Otherwise, we all sound the same. That's boring. I have a brilliant shower radio from Sony. Actually, that's where I probably should have gone in the first place. I went down stupid road. Showerproof, says Susan. Okay. I discovered earlier that beige clothes reflected onto my face. And who wants a beige face, says Hazel. Well, I don't know. Okay, we've got to get some music, but we'll go in a second because I've still got more stuff to talk about here, which includes Celine Dion. I know a lot of you are big Celine Dion fans. And she issued a video release to fans saying that she has been diagnosed with an incurable neurological disorder. This is really sad because she has what's called stiff person syndrome, which she explains affects 1 in a million people. And it sounds like an odd thing to call it. It is called SPS. And it's defined by the Cleveland Clinic as a rare autoimmune movement disorder that affects the central nervous system, that is the brain and spinal cord. And people with this condition first experience a stiffening of the muscles of their trunk, followed by, over time, the development of stiffness and rigidity in the legs and other muscles in their body. And this is how she addressed her fans yesterday.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to reach out to you. I miss you all so much. And I can't wait to be on stage talking to you in person. As you know, I've always been an open book, and I wasn't ready to say anything before, but I'm ready now. I've been dealing with problems with my health for a long time. Recently, I've been diagnosed with a very rare neurological disorder called the stiff person syndrome, which affects something like 1 in a million people. We now know this is what's been causing all of the spasms that I've been having. Unfortunately, these spasms affect every aspect of my daily life. It hurts me to tell you. This means I won't be ready to restart my tour in Europe in February.
That's Celine Dion there. That's a desperate thing. And I wish her well, obviously. I watched episode one of Harry and Meghan last night just to see what is all the fuss about. So I was watching it with a prurient tabloid eye masquerading as sociology. I wonder what's happening here, / give us a look at them. And it was, I mean, it's look, it is really hard in the middle of a war time situation, in the middle of, you know, that what people are going through in the world, to see this prince in this, the Windsor suite of the airport. They have their own room, kind of talking morosely into his phone about how hard it is, not even remembering what day of the week it was. And you can't help but think, oh, they're probably trying to decide which castle should we hide in? Which of the multi-million acres parks shall we stay away from everyone in? And it's not. And then you feel this poor man's mother was killed by hounds on motorbikes. So you have sympathy for him then, of course. And then you think, you just want privacy? Okay, but a three-part documentary about your lives certainly won't help that. You know, like, be careful to the two of them. You know, I've never met him, met her for about 2.3 seconds, which I often say, she was lovely. I'm sure some of you watched it. Would I watch part two? Probably. I mean, I'm just fascinated to see it all unfurl. If you read the British papers today, which I did look at, because they're not our problem, they're not our thing. We watch them like a soap opera, like it's EastEnders with crowns. But for the British people, it is their thing. They have an ownership and a kinship. So I respect that. And looking at the British papers today, if I was Harry or Meghan, I'd be thinking, oh, I don't know if we did the right thing there, because they have not won a lot of friends in the UK. What I would love to see is Gogglebox watching the UK, the Channel 4 Gogglebox watching that documentary. That would give you a great straw poll into what the British people are thinking. They're the people I'd like to hear on this subject. 51551. Anyway, a Conservative MP says he is planning to bring forward legislation that could see the Duke and Duchess of Sussex stripped of their royal titles. You would think if they hated all that much, they probably should hand in their gun and badge, would you? And say, fair enough, like, you know, if it's so awful. But I presume the titles offer a little bit of cachet, might open a door here and there. Cynical. I'm not that invested in it, but I'm kind of glad I watched it, because I know it's going to come up in conversation over and over again in the next 48 hours. Okay, very quick reminder of what I was saying yesterday. When I was about 9 years old, there was a song that was number one for 100 weeks in a row / 3 or 4 weeks by a peculiar duet called Rene and Renato. And when I was a kid, we had a painter in the house doing some work with the colleague, and the two lads used to whistle this song and sing it to each other, and it was gas. How we laughed. And I was just, I heard, I think it was Shea Byrne whistling down the corridor the other day, and I said, that's reminds me of the whistler. Painters are the best whistlers in the land. That's the way it is. I don't know what it is. It's a genetic thing. It's hereditary. They can whistle. And we got, you know, a lot of emails. It's the funny things on the subject of both whistling, which we'll get to later on, but this song. Like Fiona Ryan said, that song reminds me of when my mum and her new partner at the time, they're together 40 years now, went on their first foreign holiday together. And they had a few scoops after dinner every evening and ended up on the balcony at 3 a.m. singing to each other. Save my love, my... So they were singing to each other. And they got away with it until one evening that they decided to sing it in the bar downstairs. And all hell broke loose when half the bar realised that they were the culprits of the 3 a.m. disturbance every day. It's you! At which point their performance came to an abrupt end. But please play the song, as it gives me a laugh every time I hear it, from the bemused daughter of the duo. Well, that's Fiona, remembering that. And Claire says, play the painter's song, which is now called, of course. Play the painter's song. Go on, it'll put smiles on their faces. It's not that long. So look, let's just, you know. Jeepers. Grin and bear it, right? It's Rene and Renato from 1982. Summer nights with moon and stars above. A city night I long to sing you. The reddest rose I always bring you. Save your love for Roma and for me. Darling, I will love you endlessly. Even though you're far away from me. a bang at just one cornetto off that, isn't there? But it is what it is from 1982. It's Renee and Renato. Save Your Love. All right, we have a tiebreak situation. Four contestants got 8 questions right. So this is no messing. Down to business. I'm going to ask a tiebreak question. Antoinette, Patrick, Kira, Eugene, all on the line. You've got to answer this question really quickly. I'm going to say your name, answer the question, no messing. Take the final answer. The person who gets the closest number to the actual answer is the winner of a trip to Italy. I'll explain all in a moment. Here we go. Antoinette. You're there.
Yeah.
I'm here. Silent Night is the most recorded Christmas song. How many official copyrighted versions have been recorded according to Time magazine? Give me a number. Go.
5.
Okay. Patrick, your guess.
8.
Kira, your guess.
I'm sorry, I didn't get to hear the question.
The most time copyrighted versions of Silent Night have been recorded. How many?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Give me 100. A number. 100. Very good. Okay. Eugene?
500.
Okay. Whew. Okay, so we now have an answer. That the answer is 733. Would you believe? So you went with early guesses there at the beginning. Kira, you got quite close, but the person with the closest guess is actually Eugene Latin with 500. Eugene, it's yourself and Dee. Pack a bag. You're going to Roma.
Oh, thank you so much.
How
thank
about
you.
That? Eugenio Latino is going to the Eternal City. Oh, it was written in the stars. Well done, Eugene.
Thanks a million.
Okay, everybody. Thanks to Arnott's. That's all courtesy of Travel Department in Arnott's. Thank you for listening. Thanks to the team for pulling all that together this week. Appreciate it. 10 o'clock. Whew, just in time, we say. Have a lovely weekend. See you on the Late Late Tonight. Stand by for Claire Byrne. And thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.